here we go. Hour number two of the Monday edition of The Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Spectacular, as always, to have you. My name is Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, is over on the ones and the twos this a.m. You can be a part of the radio broadcast. There's a handful of different ways for you to participate in our fun and shenanigans. The first is to give us a call on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-326-3663. That's 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. The second is on our text line at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. The third way that you can interact with our lovely radio program is to hit us up on X, at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, at The Fan Upstate Goes to Everybody. The fourth way to get in touch with the radio broadcast is on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Grab it, put it on all of your digital devices, and when you go to the Audacy app, you search the Fan Upstate page, you click the little heart icon, and once you do, you'll see on the Fan Upstate page a little circular button with a microphone on the inside. You punch that button, and you can leave up to a 60-second voice note that comes directly to the Great One and I. Go to the Audacy app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click the circle mic button, and leave us a voice note on the Ray Memorial Hotline. That's all the different ways for you to get in touch with the show. And once you are in touch with the show, you will inevitably and obviously become an everyday listener, 4 hours, 6 till 10, Monday through Friday, including the 7 o'clock segment where Lonzo and I go through the world of sports, tell you everything that's going on that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. If you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on so you don't look like a goober. And that's why we do this. It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with whoever you're going to talk sports with this AM. So let us dive right in with item number one. Ordinarily, item number one on Mondays is a Palmetto State football review where we take a look at all the games that took place from all the schools and all the pro franchises around the area. Today, alas, just the Carolina Panthers to get to 28-14. They fall on the road. They go mile high and get let down low as Denver doubles them up. 28-14, your final. Bryce Young making his return as QB1, 24 of 37, 224 yards, two tutties, a pair of picks, one of them an NHF INT. The Panthers' run game faltered. 20 carries combined, 69 rushing yards combined, 56 of them racked up by Chuba Hubbard. Nobody else had more than 7 yesterday when it was all said and done. You did have 78 yards of receiving from Jalen Coker on 4 grabs. David Moore had 4 for 39. Miles Sanders had 7 snags for 38 yards. You know what that number tells me? What that number tells me is Dave Canales recognizes, hey, we probably need to simplify this offense down a little bit so Bryce can find his stroke, can find his rhythm. How do you do that? You utilize the running back in the pass game. You utilize him as an emergency outlet. You utilize him as a last resort. They did that with Miles Sanders. 7 grabs for 38 yards. Xavier Leggett had 4 for 34. Chuba had a pair for 15 when it was all said and done. Bo Nix, 28 of 37, 284, 3 tutties, no picks. He also ran in a touchdown as well. The only player responsible for a tutty, Cortland Sutton, crossed the century mark in receiving. Adam Trotman, a tight end, had 4 snags for 85 yards and 1 touchdown for the Denver Broncos. This was with, by the way, this was with a pair of Denver fumbles lost. However, The fun thing was at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, when Sean Payton was like running fake field goals and stuff, Sam Franklin was very upset. Here it is. Click the wrong button. Here's Sam Franklin. So Sam Franklin's upset because Sean Payton in the game were running trick plays and fake field goals and trying to run the score up. And my response to Sam Franklin would be, I get it, bro. You're up in your feelings right now. And it is more than understandable why you are. But here's the unfortunate part for the Carolina Panthers. NFL teams don't really get live scrimmages once the season starts. And by don't really, I mean they don't at all. Which means if you got something in the back of the playbook that you want to run against the real defense to see if you can pull it off or not, if you got something that, hey, you know, we can run this in practice, but let's keep it a buck. It working in practice ain't the same as it working in a game. If you want live rep of a thing, you get very few chances to try it on an NFL field. Well, when you're up a couple of scores late in the game and the game is out of reach, the game is over, that's a wonderful time to break some stuff out of the back of the playbook to see if it'll work or not. They weren't doing that to try to embarrass you, Sam Franklin. I promise you, they don't care about you. There's that, I forget what movie it was. Zoe, you may know off the top of your head, but there's a very famous movie scene where guy says, I've been thinking about that thing that you did to me for years. And the guy looks at the other guy and he goes, I've not thought about you at all. Devastating, Byrne. That's kind of what you are now, unfortunately, Panthers. I'm very sorry to say, Sam Franklin. The Broncos didn't run a fake field goal to try to embarrass you. They ran a fake field goal to practice a fake field goal because they, unlike you, may be in a game down the line. That matters. And they may need that in the back pocket. Well, the only way to find out if you can do it or not is to do it. They weren't doing it. If you don't want them to do it to you, stop them from doing it. This is professional athletics. If this is college, maybe I feel different. If it's high school, I definitely feel different. If this is a different level of football, I probably have a different attack to this take. But my man, you're in the National Football League. You're getting paid millions, head millions of dollars to be out there. I'm not super worried about you being embarrassed. If you don't want them to run fake field goals, maybe don't be in a spot where you're down two scores with just minutes left to play and they have the opportunity to practice because whatever you do is inconsequential. We'll talk more about that coming up later on in the radio broadcast as we continue to break down the Panthers' loss to the Broncos. But for now, let us get to item number two. Two games in the bag in the World Series. Two games in the bag for the LA Dodgers. The World Series started back on Friday, and it was a 6-3 win for LA, courtesy of a walk-off grand slam. Ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a hit in baseball in 2024 that was more deserving of being called a gigantic dong from Freddie Freeman, who sent a ball into low Earth orbit in the end of that game. The Dodgers take game one 6-3 in 10 innings. Then they ran it back on Saturday night, and despite a masterclass from the Yankees, Yoshinobu Yamamoto was just stellar in this game. Outlasted the Yankees in that spot. Carlos Rodon went out to the bump. Did not have a bad game at all, but when it came time to clench up and clutch up, the Dodgers got it done late. The Yankees didn't, 4-2, and that brings us to tonight, where we have World Series game number three. Walker Buehler. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that one. Walker Buehler on the bump tonight for the Dodgers. He'll take on Clark Schmidt at 8:08 p.m. first pitch. The Dodgers taking the cross-country flight out to the Big Apple, New York City, to take on the Yankees on the road. The format for the World Series, 2-3-2, meaning that we will play three games in the Bronx before they fly cross-country back to L.A. for games 6 and 7, if necessary. Listen, the Yankees had their opportunity to nullify home field advantage, to steal home field advantage away from the Dodgers, and they failed to do so. So now all the pressure on the Bronx Bombers. I think they have to take all three at home. I do not think they can lose a game at home, because losing a game at home means you are inevitably going back. I mean, you're already going back to L.A. even if you win all three. But you've got to give yourself two chances to win one at L.A. You cannot go back to L.A. needing to go 2-for-2, especially knowing that when you get to game six, you're going to have to see Yamamoto again, who already diced you up once. I'm very interested to see how that plays out. World Series game number 3 set to go this evening at 8:08 p.m. Now let's get to item number 3. It's every Monday that we tell you your new AP Top 25 in college football. The top 4 spots remain the same. The Oregon Ducks hang on to that number 1 spot as it stands and have 61 of the 62 available first place votes. They were one disgruntled SEC voter away from being a consensus AP number 1. That last first place vote belongs to the number 2 Georgia Bulldogs, the highest ranked one loss team. They are one spot ahead of the Penn State Nittany Lions at number 3 at 7-0 are the Penn State Nittany Lions. One spot ahead of the second highest ranked one loss team, Lonzo Ohio State University. The Buckeyes are 6-1. Whew. Lonzo was sweating a little on Saturday.
I wasn't, but you were right.
What do you mean you wasn't?
Because
how was you wasn't? They had the ball down a field goal in the last couple of minutes, and it scored a couple of times.
Yeah, I wasn't that worried. I will say that
I nailed this game, by the way.
You did. And that's all I was thinking is, man, Rob was right about this. Chip Kelly as a play caller, I got some problems.
I got
some problems. It's called, I don't know if he knew this, and maybe someone needs to tell them that they have two of the best running backs in college football. I mean, you know, maybe you forgot. I don't know.
We are going to talk some Ohio State University Buckeyes later in the show because, yes, I did nail the pick, and that's not why we're going to talk. I mean, it's going to be mentioned. It's not why we're going to talk
about
it.
Come on. That's definitely influencing why we're talking about it.
No, I think we're going to talk about him because as I was perusing the social media last night, Zoe, I found, interestingly enough, a little subsection of Ohio State Twitter where the Ryan Day questioning has grown ever louder. And not just the Ryan Day can't beat Michigan takes that I had a problem with all off season. No. Just I don't think he's the guy in general takes from the Buckeye fans this weekend. I got some sound from a couple of podcasts I pulled we may get to later in the show, but the heat from Buckeye fans, from horse chestnut fans around Ryan Day, sparked a little bit this weekend. What with the episode? Now, I would say to all of them, should they be listening to this show, great one, I think you are underappreciating exactly what these Nebraska Cornhuskers are right now. That's a good football team. I know you don't want to believe it because we've all spent the last 30 years watching Nebraska be irrelevant. That's a good little football team that's being built over there by Matt Rhule. So I'm not shocked that it was a game like it twas, but the loud fans are growing louder. Great one.
Also, not targeting.
Ooh, we're going to talk about that coming up too because David Pollack's not happy. And I want to talk about that here in just a little while. Ohio State number 4, the Miami Hurricanes, for the first time since 1733, are in the AP top 25 at number 5 inside the top 5. They are one spot ahead of, in fact, flipped spots. I don't understand. Well, I do understand it. I thought Texas was going to blow the doors off of Vandy. It turns out the doors might be for real, dude. Not like, haha, that was fun. Oh, they got Bama. Lulz, ain't that cute? You know, the way that, like, you go out and you're in the gym and like a 6-year old hits a half court shot. And you're like, damn, that's impressive. Nobody actually believes that kid is like a great 3-point shooter. He just went, oh, that was fun. I think a lot of people felt that about the doors. I thought Texas was going to blow the doors off the doors this weekend, but Vandy hung tough with the Horns. 27-24, Texas drops a spot down to number 6 after that performance. They are one spot ahead of 6-1 Tennessee, who is a spot ahead of Notre Dame, who demolished Navy 51-14. They move 4 spots up to number 8, BYU, up 2 spots to number 9, and the cult of Texas A&M jumps Clemson to claim the last spot in the top 10. Clemson off this weekend, they fall 2 spots down to number 11, 1 spot ahead of undefeated Iowa State, who is also on the bye this weekend. The Hoosiers, which I learned was a thing that they do. Thank you, Pat McAfee.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They're number 13, undefeated. They knocked off Washington 31-17. They do not move in the poll, however. Alabama comes up a spot to 14 after, whoo, that's more like it, 34-0 winners over the team that Rob Brown told you preseason was the most overrated team in the top 25, the Missouri Tigers. 34-0. Ashton Janti and Boise State knock off UNLV 29-24. They go to number 15, up a pair of spots. LSU, after getting demo-jobbed out by the Colt, fall 8 spots down to number 16. K-State, Pitt, and Ole Miss are 17-8-19. The top 25 concludes with number 20, SMU. Army was on the bye this week. They are undefeated at 7-0, number 21. Washington State got the road win at San Diego State. They are at number 22. Colorado making their first appearance in the AP Top 25 at number 23 with a 34-23 win over Cincinnati. Illinois gets hammered by Oregon. 38-9, your final out in Autzen. The Illini drop 4 spots to 24. And Mizzou, with that 34-0 loss we mentioned, drops down. Still inside the top 25, but just hanging on. Vandy is number 26. The doors. Ain't no joke. Memphis 34, Tulane 28 votes. Navy 23. All these teams stacked 26 down. Louisville has 5 votes, Arkansas 4, UNLV 4, Louisiana Lafayette 3, and the last team inside the top 30 with a vote, the South Carolina Gamecocks, threatening. If they knock off the Aggies this weekend, South Carolina will make their appearance inside the top 25. There's your water cooler cheat sheet, the stories you need to know before you get to the office. When we come back here in just a minute, I am ever so glad, great one, that you brought up that targeting discussion, because David Pollack and Greg McElroy had a couple of things that they had to talk about, and now I wish to talk about it as well, and we will next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Lonzo, would you like to walk us through your take on the targeting call that took place in the Buckeye game this weekend?
All right, first of all, bang, bang, play.
Bang, bang, play.
As they say, it was very fast.
Bang, bang!
But the majority of the blunt of the hit was on the shoulder pads. Mm-hmm. And then the arm slipped off and hit a little bit of the helmet, and they called it targeting. And I don't understand what targeting is. I mean, I get the helmet-to-helmet thing.
Yep.
Everything else, I don't understand what it is, and I don't think they do either.
So, you have an issue with the targeting calls. A lot of people have an issue with the targeting calls right now.
The other issue I have is now that player, a very good player, is going to miss a half a football against Penn State.
Which is the game remaining in the Big Ten, right? This game.
There's still another undefeated team that they have to play. Indiana.
Hoosiers! I am all in on the Kurt Cignetti bandwagon. Google me. What an icon. What an icon. We're going to come around to that because that is looking more and more like Indiana's not a novelty. That's a good football team.
All right. Zach says shoulders are head and neck area. Okay. I said shoulder pads. It was more in the pec area where he hit him.
So.
And which shoulder pads are connected right there, so it's going to be the shoulder pad area.
You are not the only problem with a targeting call. David Pollack, former Georgia Bulldog, turned talking head in the landscape of college football, was having a conversation on a live stream with former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy. And, I'll play it for you, then we'll address it. Okay, so let's go a couple of responses here. I'll start with this. The majority of the targeting calls that have taken place, not all of them, not 100% of them, but a large percentage of them, I don't have a problem with. And I don't have a problem with them because they are called to the rule as written. The majority of the targeting calls are very simply because the face mask is pointed at the turf, not the player. Okay? This is one of those frustrating things that I've had plenty of conversations. What was that targeting? Because the face mask was down. This is why. I hear Pollack say...
You know why the face mask is down? It's because the offensive players, they always lower their head. They do. So that's going to make the face mask down.
I am fine if you want to say that when an offensive player strikes with the crown of the helmet, they should be called for targeting as well.
Yes, that counts. We're even.
1-1. Okay. You're right. They never are. But I'm saying I'm fine with Pollack if that's the response here. What I am throwing out is Pollack's take that, number one, the defender targets an offensive player. An offensive player, with rare exception, is not intending to hit a defender. In fact, most ball carriers are intending to not get hit by a defender.
Unless your name's Pacheco.
Very few.
There are a couple of those guys out there.
Adam Prentice, Travis Kelce. These guys look for contact when they're running the football, but the majority of guys are not trying to get hit. That's why it is a penalty that is called exclusively on defenders, okay? But, and this is something that I have said is a failure of coaches for a very long time. If you are not teaching a kid to hit with the head up, to lead with the face mask, if you have a defender after an entire offseason that is still hitting by dropping the head and going in with the top of the hat, what do you expect? This should not be shocking to you. It should not be catching anybody by surprise. If you go in as a defender with the face mask pointed at the grass, if you go in as a defender and hit with the top of the helmet, it's gonna get called. I think this is one of those times that I get frustrated. We got a texter just wrote the show, said get rid of targeting and do unnecessary roughness in 15 yards and have at it.
You know, all the stuff that you're talking about does not apply to this hit. It does not. The helmet was not used. This was used right here, the forearm. I'm looking at it right now.
Send it to me, would you? Because I want to watch it again.
Yeah, because the helmet was not used.
I want to watch it again. But the majority of the plays that I have seen called targeting, people go, how was that a target? How was that? Because you led with the head. It's really not all that complicated of a philosophy. I forget who it was last week, but there was a targeting call last week, and I was watching, golly, what game was it? I don't remember. I was watching last week at a buddy's house, and there was a targeting call called that they were like, how in the world is that targeting? Yeah, you know what, Lonzo, I actually agree with you. That was a chicken wing of a hit. And on top of that, even if it wasn't a chicken wing of the hit, his head wasn't up, but it wasn't down. Like, he wasn't looking at the grass. I actually am fine.
Wherever his head was, it didn't hit the player. I mean, it was a forearm shiver to the pec area, and because of how quick it was.
I'm gonna tell you why it was. In looking at it, I am watching this replay. I'll pull it up on the screen here in just a second. The forearm shiver hits him in the face mask. 100% it does.
It comes off.
It doesn't matter. It hit him first in the face mask.
No. It hits the shoulder pad and it slips off and hits the face mask.
In fact, go to the live stream right now at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter. I'm going to pull it up right now and we'll take a look at it. But I think what you're going to see here, here's the moment before contact. Watch the right arm. That's face mask. That's all face mask.
It hasn't even impacted the player yet.
I guess I can't zoom in here. 100% that's on the face mask. It just is.
It's not.
It just is. I've watched it a number of times. That is a chicken wing to the face. That's why they're going to call that.
No, it's not. It is not.
Dude, I don't know what you're looking at. Watch the head at the moment of contact. Again, you got to join the stream for this moment. Watch his head.
Yeah, let the thing play out. You're stopping it at one angle. If you let it play out all the way, you'll see that it was not in the helmet. And they showed a bunch of different angles during the game, and it was not in the helmet. And then they yelled at Ryan Day, the announce team, for throwing his headset, and he never threw his headset. He pulled it off and acted like he was going to throw it. He never threw it.
I don't care about any of that. What I care about is
this is not targeting.
I am going to disagree with you on that. Here's the run at full speed. They are going to call that 100% of the
and
time.
And I vehemently believe that you're wrong.
That's okay. Watch his head. Watch the head at the moment of contact. The head jerks back because he got hit in the head.
You know what happens? Have you ever been in a car accident or anything like that? When you get hit somewhere, your head's going to rock back. It's not going to stay forward.
No.
That's how impact works.
Listen, here's my thought. Not my thought. This is how it works. You're right. Your head's going to jerk in a...
We can walk over there and let me go as fast as I can, which is not very fast, and shiver you right there and watch what your head does.
Right, because you have moved my body away from my head.
Right.
If the head jerks first, what's going to move first?
It does not jerk first.
It absolutely does. Watch it right here. The head goes first. Bang! And then the chest comes behind it.
The head does not go back till he hits the ground.
No.
It's amazing how two people can look at the same thing and see something totally different. I'm completely right on this, and you're beyond wrong. Whatever the next thing of wrong is, you are.
No, I'm not. So with whatever way you want to look at it, they're going to call that a targeting. All right, they just are. That's just how that call is going to get made 100 out of 100 times. But all of that being said. The first thing I would say is wouldn't happen if replay was part of the game.
I'm not being mean when I say this. Do you have your contacts on behind your sunglasses?
I don't need them. My computer screen's right here.
I can't see far away. That's what I thought. Uh-huh.
I can't see far away. Mm-hmm. I'm not that old. Now what I will say in this moment for Pollock and everybody else is this. I don't have an issue with like 90 to 95% of targeting calls because it's the same mistake that gets made over and over and over. If you lead with the head up and you contact the helmet, it's getting called. That's not a question mark. That's a statement. If you want to make offensive targeting a thing where if an offensive ball carrier lowers the level of contact and drops the head, I'm good with that too. But see, the thing is, even if the offensive player lowers down, drops the head, lowers the level of contact, but comes in face mask up, and the defender does not, that's still defensive targeting. If you lead with the face mask, it won't be a targeting. It's really the discussion. All right, we got to talk some World Series and more when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So, So we've talked a little Carolina Panthers during the show today. We'll stick with it for just a minute. Stumbled across this clip from Todd McShay, NFL analyst, has been with ESPN and a number of other organizations. McShay was talking about the fact that Shedeur Sanders is likely to head to the NFL draft this year. And despite a victory for the Cleveland Browns yesterday, McShay believes, as many of us do, that there are two possible teams to be at the number one overall selection when draft day rolls around next year. And McShay says he believes that Shedeur Sanders will not end up being selected by either of those two teams. You know what I got to think the worst part about being a Panther fan is right now? And again, I am not a Panther fan, but as I've told you many times, I have a rooting interest in this team not stinking, because if this team would not stink, I would make more money, okay? If this team was good, there'd be remotes, and there'd be more folks that want to advertise around the Carolina Panthers. And as Odyssey is the home of Carolina Panther football here in the upstate, if this team was good, I would be in a much better position. So I want them to be good, if for the most selfish reason of all, because I like money quite a bit. However, you are in a point right now where the Carolina Panthers are like constantly utilized as the illustration of bad things in the league. Played a clip. I don't even remember what it was at this point because there's been so many of them. But I played a clip either Thursday or Friday of last week where, God, who was it? It was kind of a similar situation where somebody was talking about like an issue that is a league-wide issue, and then they utilize the Panthers as the illustration of what's wrong, of the situation itself. And it's not unusual anymore. It's just like that's just the thing now. If there's a bad thing that has to be discussed about, you must utilize the Panthers as the illustration of the thing being bad. So basically, McShay says, ain't no way Prime's letting Shedeur go to Carolina. And I would like to say that, yeah, that's not how the draft works, right? It's not how the draft works. But
it is how it works for some people.
That's exactly how it works.
For John Elway, for the Mannings, yep. for a select few, but still, we've seen it happen.
Yep. Now, I do think that you kind of have to be like football royalty to pull this off, right? Like you got to be football royalty to pull this off. You can only do it if you're the number one overall pick, it feels like, or if you are, you know, kin to an all-timer, to a Hall of Famer. Like that's it. That's the only way that you can get this pulled off. I'd say Prime meets the qualifications, right? I think it meets the qualifications. I think if this is going to happen, Deion Sanders is absolutely the guy that has the weight to say, yeah, no, my kid's not playing for you. I don't like it. So that we're clear. I don't like it. But this is how bad your team is. Despite the fact that I don't like it, that I think if you are drafted by a team, you should be obligated to play for that team, or at least that team should be able to. I think the rules should be very simple. If you get drafted by a team, you are a member of that team for 4 years. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's just the way the league works, and I think you collectively bargain that into existence. The only people who would hate that rule are rookies, and they don't have a vote in this because, you know, they're not in the league yet. I think you find a way to collectively bargain that if your rights are drafted by a team, you're on that team for 4 years. After 4 years, you can get the hell up out of there ASAP if you want to. And if you decide, yeah, I'm not playing for that team, cool. You sit on the couch for 4 hours, for 4 seasons. You sit on the couch and don't get better for 4 years, and then you can come back in year five and play anybody, play anywhere for anybody that wants to take the risk. But I think it is telling when Todd McShay, a voice in the NFL media sphere, says, yeah, I wouldn't let my kid play there. But there is another side to this argument. And we've talked about this, and I've brought it up a number of times. You heard David Tepper at the press conference in which Dave Canales and Dan Morgan were introduced as the head coach and the general manager, respectively. David Tepper was asked by Sheena Quick, hey, Dave, can you? And, you know, can you tell us? Can you talk to us? How do you feel? How do you this? How do you that? Whatever. And Tepper said in that moment, you know, I'm going to take a step backwards here. I'm going to let my guys do their thing. I don't want to be a voice. I'm going to hang in the background. Things are going very poorly for the Carolina Panthers right now, because not only are they not winning football games, they are one of the most banged up teams in the league right now. They have injuries that have hampered the season everywhere on the football field. And With just a couple of exceptions here and there, it ain't exactly like the team is getting better, right? Like, if I asked you right now, great one, to tell me a spot that you think the Panthers are better in week 9 than they were back in week 1, what would you get? I'd say Xavier Leggett is developing nicely.
Yeah, I still would go a punter because he's had plenty of practice. And, you know, improving every week, the more his leg getting strong.
Old Johnny Hecker, friend of the show. I mean, really, like that's...
I'm not joking, by the way. He's getting a lot of playing time
yeah.
right now.
I don't know that I can give you more than two or three. I think Leggett's getting better. I think there are an individual player here and there that's improving a little bit. But it ain't like the team's getting better. And with all of that being said, this is a genuine question. When's the last time you heard David Tepper? Have you seen Tep this season? I got to tell you, though, I don't think, at least since we started week 1, I haven't really seen nor heard from David Tepper. And I'll keep it a buck. As far as covering the NFL goes, the Panthers are going to be irrelevant until draft season, when they will have one of the top 2 or 3 picks in the NFL draft. You're irrelevant right now to the NFL as a whole. But even in your irrelevance, it is still my job to be up to date on what is happening, to be able to say, oh, you know, this is what Canales said, and this is what Dan Morgan said, and here's what I think, blah, 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 whatever. And over the last couple of years, that largely would have been, and here's what David Tepper said. I have not heard hide nor hair, as the old expression goes, out of David Tepper this season. So my question mark is...
Do you want to, though?
No.
I mean, it might add a little more excitement to an otherwise horrible season. At least you could be able to dog Tepper a little bit.
But here's the thing. This, unlike Jerry Jones, this I appreciate. The league at large, and all those who talk about it, including Tom McShay in that clip right there, the league at large has decided the organizational failure of the Carolina Panthers has been a David Tepper problem. And I'm not saying Tep's not still locked up in his James Bond villain tower somewhere pulling the strings, but just being smarter about knocking, not talking about it. I have said for years, you know, the biggest part of the problem with politicians is that the next one got to learn from the mistakes of the last one. So they get to get away with the same stuff because they go, okay, the mistake this guy made was he did this over here, and we're gonna not do that. We're going to misdirect. It's possible Dave Tepper's still up there pulling the strings. Nicole Tepper is still drawing up plays she wants Dave Canales to run on the back of a coaster at a bar somewhere. But we ain't heard from him. He doesn't appear, from the outside looking in, he doesn't appear to be doing that. He's not out giving press conferences. He's not calling in to our sister's, our brother, station WFNZ in Charlotte and saying, well, this is all your fault, media. It's these narratives that you're running out there. He's not doing that. So at least I got to give him credit for that. But when your team is consistently used as the illustration for bad things in the NFL, that stinks, dude. It stinks. Hey, when we come back, 8 o'clock straight up, we got the Audio Blitz 820. We'll talk some World Series. The Dodge is up 2-0 on the Yanks, but we are headed back to the Bronx for 3. We'll break that down and more after Lonzo blows your minds with this sports flash.
I don't know why Rob always talks about the thing that I'm going to talk about right before I talk about. The New York Yankees will try to start a rally this evening at home in Game 3 of the World Series after falling in a 2-0 series hole to the L.A. Dodgers. First pitch of the contest is at 8:08, with Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani expected to play despite a shoulder injury sustained while still in the base in Game 2. The newest AP poll has dropped, with the Oregon Ducks holding on to the number one position, followed by Georgia at number two. Penn State stays at 3, Ohio State stays at 4, and Miami moves into the top 5 for the first time this year. Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, BYU, and Texas A&M round out the top 10. Hey, tune in this Saturday at noon as the Furman Paladins take on the VMI Keydets. It's Furman versus VMI right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan. Upstate. Keydets.